Good morning, everyone. Is our technology working? Yeah, sounds great. Pleased to have so many guests with us this morning. Special welcome to our guests joining us for our early morning Homa. It's our custom to give a short talk after the Homa. It won't be too long. In our next issue of Hinduism Today, one of our sections is on teaching, presenting Hinduism to non-Hindus. We collected up some very interesting articles, including a very fine article from Dr. Karan Singh in New Delhi. He has lots of experience presenting. He's a great lecturer on Hinduism around the world to various groups. He presents the high-minded principles of Vedanta, in which he's very knowledgeable. So I was asked to contribute also, to put a piece in our own magazine. And so I thought I'd read my short piece and then continue on about a few other points about presenting Hinduism to non-Hindus. I have found that presenting the Purushartha, the four Hindu goals of life, is an effective way of presenting Hinduism to non-Hindus in a classroom environment. This is due to the fact that the students have almost always learned about Hinduism from a religion or history textbook. It focuses on India and events in the past, plus the fact that none or few of them have ever met a Hindu. Unfortunately, this leaves the impression that Hindus are quite different from them, their family, friends, and neighbors. Thus, the goal of this presentation is to have the students realize that Hindus are pretty much the same as everyone else. The presentation begins by writing on the blackboard the word Purushartha and its translation as goals of life, and underneath writing each of the four goals in Sanskrit and English: Dharma, virtuous living; Artha, wealth; Kama, love; and Moksha, liberation. So with all that on the blackboard, the presentation begins. In Hinduism, the goals of life are called Purushartha, and there are four of them: Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Let's look first at love and wealth. Love and wealth are indeed the goals of all of mankind. Most everyone, monks excluded of course, is living life in a way that pursues these goals. They want to fall in love, get married, have children, and live a happy family life. They want to learn a profession so that they can earn a good living and provide for their family a home and all the possessions that are needed. In this regard, Hindus are the same as everyone, not at all different in fulfilling these natural human pursuits. Next, we have Dharma. Dharma is not really a separate goal from Artha and Kama, but rather governs the way we pursue them. Are we honest or dishonest in the way we acquire wealth? If we are honest, then that is fulfilling the goal of Dharma. Are we loyal to our spouse, or do we regularly have extramarital affairs? If we are loyal, that is again fulfilling Dharma. In addition to the idea of following virtue, Dharma outlines our natural duties in life. We have obligations to our immediate family members, guests in our home, our parents, our community, our state, and even our nation. Dharma tells us that we should help others perform our part in the service and upliftment of society. Dharma also includes the concept of regularly worshipping God. There is a verse from the Hindu scripture Tirukkural which nicely summarizes these duties. The foremost duty of family life is to serve duly these five: God, guests, kindred, ancestors, and oneself. Dharma can also be translated as religion, and we can clearly see that Hindus pursuing Dharma act the same way as anyone else who is following a religious tradition. Finally, we have the goal of moksha, or liberation. All religions have a final goal. Some call it salvation, others call it enlightenment. Hinduism calls it liberation, which refers to being liberated from the cycle of reincarnation on earth. Moksha comes through the fulfillment of Dharma, Artha, and Kama in the current or past lives, so that you are no longer attached to worldly joys or sorrows. We can see that this concept is different from that held in religions such as Christianity, Judaism, Islam, but is similar to that held in other Eastern religions such as Buddhism, Sikhism, and Jainism. Therefore, in their pursuit of moksha, Hindus are the same as others in the Eastern religions, but do differ in this regard from those in the Western faith. So that's that idea, trying to show Hindus are just people, like everyone else, not different. Which, in a state like Hawaii, lots of young people don't know, because they never met a Hindu. So another useful concept is to talk about karma. And the reason why karma is useful is so many Americans believe in karma. In fact, we had a group of journalists here, I guess it was about a year ago, a lady journalist, a very diverse group of journalists from different magazines who were doing an article on our island. And they were in our conference room and we were talking to them, and I asked, you know, everyone who believes in karma, raise your hand. So there's about 10 journalists, and I think 8 or 9 of them raised their hand. You know, this was just an ordinary group, you know. It wasn't particularly a religious group, a mystical group, just a group of journalists. And 80-90% of them believed in the law of karma. So, talking about the law of karma and what karma means is a very useful way of making non-Hindus feel closer to Hinduism. And the definition I got when we presented this a few years ago at our local community college, I asked them to define Hinduism, and one young woman said, "What goes around, comes around." That was her non-technical definition of karma, so which is very accurate, you know, very accurate indeed. And another concept is reincarnation. Karma is more accepted than reincarnation in the U.S., but still lots of Americans believe in reincarnation. Certain movies in the West portray reincarnation. So when you talk about reincarnation as a core belief in Hinduism, again, you make everyone feel closer to how Hindus look at life. And another useful concept is the practice of yoga. Yoga is very widespread, and one of the changes in the U.S., you know, we moved to this island some 34 years ago almost, and at that time, you would drive around the island and you didn't see the word yoga on any building. It wasn't there 34 years ago. But now you drive around the town and drive around the island and you'll probably run into 10 different signs about yoga, different yoga studios, different people teaching yoga classes on the island. So yoga has become very popular in the last few decades in the United States. And everyone knows yoga at least means the physical postures. They don't necessarily know more about it than that. But it's a useful topic because you can explain how yoga is a Hindu practice, and when done in its fullness, includes meditation, profound meditation, and develop that in a nice way. So you begin to realize, see, they're surrounded by yoga studios, which is a form of Hinduism, something they never thought about. It's right in their own community in a very natural way. So those are a few ideas on presenting Hinduism to non-Hindus, and the whole idea is to make them understand Hindus are normal people just like them, pursuing family and wealth in a virtuous way, and that Hindu beliefs are a part of American life, such as karma and reincarnation, and Hindu practices such as yoga are all around them. Once they have that in mind, they begin to see that, gee, Hinduism is in the U.S., it's all around me in the U.S., and I never thought about it in that way before. So that's the idea. Thank you very much. Om Namah Shivaya. At this point, we come forward for vibhuti. Any of our guests who want to come forward for vibhuti can, but it's not required.